B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussoli Show. It's a Friday. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast. It's a tough time when there's an all-star break. I don't like all-star breaks. It seems like it's going to be now forever for us to wait on the Philadelphia 76ers on what they're going to be. I hate this. We saw a kind of a transformation against the Clippers. And then they go, see ya. We're away for a while. So you're leaving us in a tough spot here. We got to know where this season is going to go. I need games. You can't have everything you want. So we'll talk about the Sixers in a minute in a different kind of a category. So let me talk about the Flyers last night. I just say that was a really bad spot for them. But this team, when they lose, really comes back. I got to read the tea leaves better. They're now 6-0 coming off a loss in a situation where it looked like they were going to lose that next game. The dynamic last night wasn't very good. Playing a team in revenge within a couple days. You're on the road. The goaltender who struggled on the road, all of a sudden, boom. They look like they're surging. So we got some Flyer hockey to look forward to in the playoffs. I don't know how far they can take it. Maybe you Flyer fans can tell me how far do you think the team can go. Because I'm looking at it like, yeah, their team is going to make the playoffs, but I don't see, I don't predict any surge for them in the playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the folks have been watching this team closely all year long see something I haven't seen. Oh, we had this caller Aaron's been telling me that for a long time. So maybe the boys have a little run in them. And then, of course, you got the Phillies. Propaganda won yesterday and propaganda two today. The general manager and the whoever, whatever he is, Andy McPhail. I'm not really sure what he is. I don't know what his job is. I've been in this business for a really long time. I've never seen a guy that had a nothing job like this dude. I have no idea, no clue what he does. Therefore, what he says can't mean anything to me, can it? You know, Klentak at least tries to BS you. And McPhail is like, what do you do exactly? I want to sit here and listen to what your take on this Phillies team is. It was bad enough I had your Klentak yesterday tell me that there's really a lot of talent. We think we can do things. There's a lot of talent in this pitching staff. I've had enough of Phillies executives talking to me. I've had enough. Now, that said, they're gonna use that against me when we get to spring training. I say, oh, you know, hear from executives, and we're not coming on the air. No, we're going to have Klentak on the air, I've been assured, and Girardi on the air. So I'll get to ask my own little questions. All right, so now let's look at the Sixers in the context of, you know, when we look at the Sixers, everything about the Sixers revolves around the two guys. Whether you think it's fair or not, when you have set up two guys as your star players, and they have set up themselves as star players, the fan base is going to look at them a lot more critically than say we're going to look at, Josh Anderson. Josh Richardson. I say Anderson.
I think you were thinking of Justin today, weren't you? Were you missing Justin Anderson?
I was thinking of.
I know.
Josh Richardson. So, yeah, I know, like, McPhail. So, who put that on there? McPhail's president of baseball operations.
That was me.
I know what he is, Tyler. I just don't know what he is. You know, I know what his
total nothing job.
I know what his title is. You're reminding me what his title is. That's hysterical. Yeah, I know what his title is. But I was, like, reducing that title to nothingness, basically. Because the president of baseball operations, according to me, does nothing but sit in a nice office with a tweed jacket. But we'll get to that later. Let's get back to the Ben Simmons thing. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And I've heard from a lot of people, the email, the Twitter, big phone call, you're too hard on these guys. They're still young guys. And I go, look around the NBA. Look at all the stars. The stars, okay, beyond the Kawhis and the LeBrons and the Anthony Davises, you get down to a group of young guys that are all-star caliber players, right? So, like, the young thing does not apply anymore. Like, we have to wait on them because they're young. Ben's still young. We're going to have to wait on him to learn jump shot. All that stuff is nonsense to me. If you're like, Joel Embiid's 25 years old now. Now, he's been around the game enough. I don't care that he started it late in Cameroon. He's been around the basketball game long enough for us to look at him critically. And to me, it's not a violation to look at these guys critically and then have you come back with, well, they're young and they're entitled to mistakes. No, not when you're the centerpiece of a team. The fans are expecting you to perform. And I'm wondering if that attitude is too harsh. Because that seems to be my attitude. Tyler Pizzulli is producing today. Tyrone is off. Tyler, you're a youngin'. So you might look at it a little different way than me. You're a youngin', and you see all these youngins in the game. Do you believe that we judge the youngins too harshly?
I think some of them. I don't think all of them, but I certainly think some of them.
This would be a good discussion. Now tell me why you think that.
I think that, especially with Embiid and Simmons, I think that we expect this process to yield championships.
Mm-hmm.
And we waited around through 9-win seasons and all of these, you know, fake guys that it has to yield success. And I know they're young, but it's been 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's enough to justify scrutiny.
You're agreeing with me.
Yeah, I actually am.
I thought you said you weren't agreeing with me.
No. I'm in agreement with you on those two.
Yeah,
I.
But to an extent, we expect more out of, we expect too much out of younger players. In general, you're saying that?
I think so.
Like, give me an example.
So I think Carson Wentz is the perfect example.
Uh-huh.
Because Carson Wentz has the world on his shoulders, and he probably, to an extent, should, because he's the quarterback. But every time Carson Wentz made a mistake, should have kept Foles.
Well, that's idiots that are saying that. The majority of people aren't really saying that. So how are we hard on Carson Wentz? Like, why should our expectations for every star player in this town not be high without having to be weighed down by, oh, but they're young. Young players now take over leagues. You know, you don't have the young player anymore that's coddled by the veteran player. The young player comes into the league, boom, he's a starter right away. Carson Wentz didn't sit behind anybody and learn. He's a starter. He also signed a big contract extension.
So I guess that's my question to you. Does the contract, the money,
of course it
change
does.
Everything?
It changes a lot of it because you can't have it both ways. You can't take star money and then not expect star scrutiny. Right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's totally fair. Once you go into that echelon of you are a superstar player by my paycheck and by the expectations, you can't then say, well, he's young. And we expect to say it doesn't work. To me, it doesn't work like that. To many others, it probably does work like that. But I've been around long enough to know that these young players vault themselves into the upper echelon of star caliber players a lot earlier than they used to be. So with that comes expectations. With that comes demands. I can't sit here and say, well, Joel Embiid has only been playing basketball for a certain amount of time. He's 25 years old. We've seen him dominate games. I've got no more, well, he's young, we need to wait for him to mature. And I can't do the same thing with Ben Simmons. The fact that he still doesn't shoot a jump shot is appalling to me. Does that mean my expectations are out of line?
I don't think he needs the jump shot. Really don't. But no, to have your expectations high on those, especially, like I said, those two, totally acceptable.
Yeah. Now, here's the other guy, superstar in town. Carter Hart is in that echelon, right? He's not getting paid by it, but he's in the upper echelon. What holds back the expectations on Carter Hart? First of all, he's been playing well, all right? But our standards are different for the Flyers. The Flyers are kind of inching their way into a championship situation. They're not there yet. So we look at a guy like Carter Hart, the expectations are naturally a little bit lower. But when we look at the Eagles, they won a Super Bowl. They were supposed to win a Super Bowl with the star player they drafted. So therefore, the expectations are, bam, over the top. Embiid and Simmons come into this year as what? As one of the favorites in the East. Bam, the expectations are over the top. You can't hide from them. You can't run from them. So in my opinion, we're not too hard on younger players. We don't have to allow for their growth through youth. They are what they are right now, upper echelon players with expectations. All right, so we'll see how people feel about that. Also, it's Valentine's Day. You know, we always do something on Valentine's Day that kind of centers into love. And I would like to know, a lot of guys think they hate this holiday. Hey, it's a manufactured holiday, which it is. But there's nothing wrong with manufactured holidays. There's nothing wrong. See, it's almost like we have to protect people from themselves. Like, guys would go merrily along without thinking about their significant other if we didn't have a day that demands that they do.
Why is that?
Well, because guys like to get away with stuff and just roll merrily along without having to take inventory of whether they're paying enough attention to their significant other. So this is a holiday that protects them from themselves.
Correct.
It demands that they look at it.
Yeah.
It demands that they think of their significant other on this day and do something more special than they would normally do from day to day.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it brings people together.
It does.
Yes. So I want to ask guys out there and also ladies that are listening, what are the plans for Valentine's Day? Now, to me, everybody gets away, but they'll go to dinner. We'll go to dinner. And Valentine's Day, to me, is the worst day to go to dinner.
It is. You can't get in anywhere.
So to me, the best Valentine's Day show your significant other that you really care for them is to do something for them special. And what is special for a guy? Cooking.
Oh.
I believe the best thing a guy can do for a lady on Valentine's Day is to have a romantic evening at home that starts with the man actually putting his brain and hands together to actually do something that special, out of the ordinary, something he never does. And he learns to make a beautiful romantic meal with candles and good wine and conversation. And then whatever happens. After you want to sit, watch Netflix, you can do that. You want to go upstairs and go lovey-dovey, you can do that as well. But that's what I think the ultimate date is. Now, Natalie, you're a woman.
I really like that.
You're a woman. Has been
I love that.
Many Valentine's days where
yes.
You've probably been taken out.
Yeah.
Right? Now,
yeah,
the taking
for sure.
out experience on Valentine's Day to you has been what?
I mean, it's kind of cookie cutter, and I think that you don't get the best experience, the best experiences at restaurants is because they're so busy and they're trying to fit reservations and stuff like that. I think it's always best to give like a thoughtful, meaningful gift that is special to whoever your significant other is.
There you go.
Is.
A gift would be nice.
Yeah.
A gift with the cooking.
A little something. Yeah.
With the act of you actually physically doing something for your significant other.
Yeah, I think that's great, but also showing some sort of appreciation by doing something special for them, whether it's like getting their favorite cup of coffee, like breakfast in bed, stuff like that. Like the simple little things I think are more important than like some grand gesture.
But I also think Valentine's Day goes the other way. Because it doesn't have to be man doing for woman or doing for significant other, whatever it is.
No, it should totally
it
be
could
reciprocated.
Be an idea that comes from the woman that they both share.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we're on the same page.
Oh, totally.
Here's the reason why. Restaurants are very busy. I don't take business away from you. That's a great night for you guys to make money. In my experience on Valentine's Day in a restaurant, you can't communicate with the person. So you wind up just sitting there, picking at your food, trying to talk to whoever you're with.
Right.
And it just doesn't work as well.
Yeah. See, my gift would be cooking as well, because I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be me doing so. That's what I do for people that I love.
There you go. But somebody should be doing that for you.
Well, yeah.
Since you do that for other people, somebody now to treat you specially should do that for you. And there should also be a card. And here's my philosophy on cards. I am on this mission to lobby the Hallmark Company, whoever makes cards, to stop putting words in cards. I don't like to see any words in cards. I believe that every card that you see in a drugstore or wherever should be blank so that you can communicate your own damn thoughts and not let Hallmark talk to your significant other.
It's very difficult for a lot of people, Mike.
It's not difficult.
I know. It shouldn't be.
You don't have to write a sonnet. Just a couple of words. My God.
A haiku.
Yeah, like Rose and Red Blossom, they don't have to go there. Say, dear, I have enjoyed the so-and-so many years with you, and I look forward to many more. Something simple works. Not having Hallmark doing some stupid rhyme for you.
I agree.
And then you say, love, Jim. Come on, man. What have we gone in this country? We lose our imagination. We can't even write a card.
We barely do anything anymore, Mike.
610-632-0975. Your calls after this on a Friday on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2 o'clock hour, a Friday Mike Missinelli Show on radio and TV. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line. Conklin Attention HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, let's get to our Twitter poll for today. And our Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Give your family their weekends back with a Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Check out the Automower in person at their showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Miss Natalie Eganoff on Valentine's Day.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, do we set our expectations too high for the city's young superstars, Embiid, Simmons, Wentz, and Hart? 30% say yes, we expect too much. 70% say no, it comes with the territory.
Well, there you go. 70% agree with the Mikey Miss. Comes with the territory. You know, if you went like this, if you said, if the Sixers came up to Ben and said, we want to give you an extension, you go, no, I'm not ready for the extension money yet. I haven't really reached my peak. Then I would say you're out of line ripping them. But once you take the contract, you go, okay, I'm taking a contract that labels me as one of the better players in the league. So I'm going to have less slack. Is that a deal most of them would make? Yep. They would.
We'd be ripping them for something entirely different
well,
if he said
and,
that.
And listen, I wouldn't be ripping them. I'd say that's righteous.
Gotta get your money.
It'd be foolish.
Gotta get your money.
But it would be righteous. Sometimes righteous is foolish. But in the end, you look yourself in the mirror, and it's righteous. What means more to you?
I don't see anybody that would not take the cash.
Probably the money. But some people look in the mirror and go, I'd rather be righteous. All right.
Whatever he doesn't take, you can send our way.
The Flyers, after their last six defeats, have gone 6-0-0. Have outscored opponents 31-15, and they haven't dropped consecutive games since January 4th. Man, that's consistency. That's solid. I'm impressed. Man, that game last night was impressive. I thought, sure, you know, the team that doesn't have any fight or heart loses that game in Florida last night, and they got a tough nut the next game against Tampa Bay Lightning. But and we'll see what happens there. But man, I'm impressed. All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, man, in this day and age, wish you a happy Valentine's Day. Same to Natalie and Tyler.
Thank you. I don't know what Tyler's doing. Tyler's a youngin'. I don't know if he's got like, we'll get into his Valentine's Day plans later.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Yeah, well, my plan is watching my son play an indoor soccer game tonight, so that's my big
plan.
That's
what you're doing on Valentine's Day?
That's what I'm doing, man. You know, I'm doing the dad thing.
Well, are you married?
Divorced.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
that's why it's a little different.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
now you have a girlfriend right now?
Nah, you know, I just keep myself open.
Kind of dating around?
Nah, you know, just wait for the right one to come again.
Oh, I got you. Is there anybody who's Valentine's Day dinner worthy in your life?
Oh, I don't know, man. There's always someone out there that hasn't found them yet.
All right, I'm proud.
But I like the way you like to set your dinner, man.
That's well, yeah, I'm not doing that tonight. Tonight I'm watching Netflix, I think. But in the past, I mean, that was, you know, that was always something.
That's a money win, man. That's a clutch move, Mike.
Well, see, that's what I do, though. So it's not like, I'm different. Like most, I'm talking about the guys with that are all thumbs when they go in the kitchen.
You can't do that stuff.
Like, a little effort is what's the most appreciated, not how the meal actually turns out. It's the effort.
Exactly.
That's the key.
That's all it's about, man. It's the effort and the love.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the Sixers, I mean, you had a great point earlier when you said, you know, it's just like the worst timing coming off that game versus the Clippers, because we actually got to see kind of a different balance of the team and such a good performance, and now we sit here and we wait, and it's just like, you know?
It's
draining.
It is draining, and it's a long time before they're going to play, you know?
I know,
It's really a long time away, so it's leaving us in a tough spot.
I won't take too much of your time, but real quick violation on sports fandom, if I may.
Okay.
Right, I was at a game down in Florida. I was in Florida last week. I went and saw the Penguin Weasels. You know, I'm a Penguins fan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they were playing the Panthers, just like the Flyers last night. And so these two girls in front of me were standing. Every time the play came towards the net, you know, towards, like, you know, to have an opportunity to a shot or a goal, they would stand every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, dude? Like,
it
was unbelievable, man. Like, I was with my dad, and my dad just was having a fit. You know, he's a 70-year-old guy, and he's like, sit down, you know? Like,
they
look at us like we're the a-holes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it sucked. But anyway, it was still a good game, so anyway. Have a good day,
all right, man. You got, see, that's a really interesting little life dilemma. Like, what are your rights when somebody does that? What are your rights? Like, let's say it's a football game, and you like to sit more, and then the people in front of you like to stand on every little thing.
I feel like there's an unspoken, or there should be some sort of unspoken respect that you give, because there's times where I like to stand. But I have to be respectful.
Yeah. You have to respect the stand?
No, you have to respect the people around you. Like, so you could stand, but don't stand for a prolonged period of time.
They're not going to do that. I'm asking the opposite question.
Oh.
If you're the one,
stander?
If you're behind the stander.
If you're the city.
If you're the city, yes. If you're the city, and this happens at concerts.
Well, so
it'll happen in the hockey games, like you just put it. It'll happen in football games.
Right. I think you have to just give them a window to stand, and then if it becomes excessive and it's really blocking your view and you want to sit. But you have to be respectful of each other. I think there's, like, a balance there.
The people that stand have no idea what they're doing.
No.
But they're just caught up in the excitement of it. That's what makes them stand.
So what I'm saying is,
should you mention it to the person?
I think you could say, do you mind sitting for a couple minutes
so I can see?
Well, technically, you're paying for a seat.
You paid for the seat, now sit in it.
Well, no, not that, but it depends on the...
It's just a joke.
So, it's happened to me at many Penn State football games.
Where people have asked you to sit?
No, where I've been behind somebody who will stand.
Well, it all depends on the atmosphere, too.
Yeah, I'm talking about the...
But I feel like a Penn State game, you can't expect to sit.
No. The gratuitous stand-up. Like, I understand the excitement stand-up.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the excitement stand-up and the gratuitous stand-up.
Right.
Well, Mike, especially with Beaver Stadium, you know, the student section stands the entire game. I think a lot of people oftentimes look at that and go, oh, I want to do that too, and not realize that you're not in the student section anymore.
It's happened to me at concerts, too. Like, there's a difference between a chill concert and a stand concert. And I get bugged by the semi-chill concert that where you're like sitting down, this is absorbing the music more than just standing up and going crazy.
Well, so my cousin and I were shushed at Madonna.
You were shushed?
Shushed.
What were you doing?
We were singing and dancing, and the people next to us shushed us.
Next to you?
Yeah.
Well, how are you affecting them?
I don't know. I guess they were mad that we were singing and dancing.
I would be a little upset if I was behind you.
And it's Madonna. You only see her once in a lifetime.
Yeah, it's a dilemma.
And it also happened at Diana Ross.
Well, Diana Ross is more of a sick concert.
No, she's not.
Oh, come on, Nat. That's a sit in your seat concert.
No, but it was Madonna, just the grumpy guy behind me and my mother at Diana's.
I gotta side with the guy.
No,
I gotta side with the guy.
Everybody else was standing.
Diana Ross is an adult performer.
It was at the Sands too.
That's a violation on you.
No.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, Greg?
Hey, are all baseball GMs sock puppets for their owners? I mean, is it their job to be apologists and to be the insulation between...
Well, they can't speak out against their owners.
Well, not in public, but... I mean, I don't get, every time I hear Clintock talk, it reminds me of Kermit the Frog for some reason, but I just don't get the feeling like he has the chops to push back to say, hey, you know, I know you don't want to spend the money, but we really ought to do such and such.
Well, how do you know he's not saying that? Like, he's not going to say that in public. That's the only place you would hear it, right? If he said it in public. He can't do that in public. He can't put his owner on a griddle.
It's just an opinion. I don't know.
I'm asking you logically. Like, if you were working for an owner and you wanted him to spend more money and he doesn't want to, you can't griddle him in public.
No, exactly.
That's what you're suggesting.
No, I'm saying I don't think he has the chops to do it in private.
Oh, okay. So you're saying he doesn't... There's only so much you can do when the guy controls the purse strings. Like, you can go up to him and go, we need this guy, we need this guy. And the owner goes, well, we're going to go over and I don't want to do it. Then what are you going to do?
Yeah, like,
you don't know that he's not doing that.
Well, look at the guy. Do you think he's doing it?
Well, I don't care what he looks like. He's smart enough to realize if they spent more money, they're going to be a better team. Like, it's not him going, I agree with you, let's not spend the money.
I don't know. My opinion is the guy's not doing it. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but...
Yeah, well, if you don't know for a fact, it's kind of harmful for you to say that, you know? It's not right. It's not right for you to say it.
Well, we all have opinions.
No, yours is more than an opinion. You're stating that Clintock doesn't do this. And you don't know that he doesn't.
I said I doubt if he does it.
Okay. Listen, I can't say what Clintock is telling Middleton. Here's what I can say. I think that Clintock is misguided in his evaluation of players. That's the only thing I say. I can't get into the his financial reasoning. If I'm Matt Clintock and you're Matt Clintock, of course you want the owner to spend as much money as he can. You don't care? Do you care that he spends a lot of money?
Not this year.
No. You don't care. If your owner is willing to spend the money, then you go, good. But if he says to you, no, we're not going to go over luxury tax, it pretty much ends the conversation.
They're more worried about the draft picks than they are the money. They don't care about the money.
I think they do. I think this owner cares about the money. I don't think he wants to get fined over and pay extra money on a tax over the luxury tax. So what they do is they veil it by saying, well, if something comes along mid-season, then we may exceed. In which case, it's going to cost them a little less money. There's no question in my mind that they're holding forth. Middleton has drawn the line. We're not going over this line. I don't want to do it. Otherwise, they would have done it. There were plenty of guys they could have gotten to improve this pitching staff.
They would have signed Will Harris or Will Smith already had they had been willing to go.
Well, that's
what
I'm saying. So, like a guy like Clintock has no option. Like, he can't pound his fist and demand it. You spend. He can't do that. He's still a young general manager. He can suggest. At the end of the day, the purse string is going to be what's what. Delano in Sicklerville. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Delano.
Yes.
What's up,
hello,
buddy?
Mike. Hello, Mike. Good afternoon and happy Valentine's to you and the crew.
Oh, you too. Send me some candy hearts? Come on, man.
I'll see what I can do. I was just calling. I wanted to talk about the Sixers a little bit. We were talking about it, and I agreed on a few things that you mentioned as far as the Sixers. I'm just really frustrated with them this year. Mm-hmm. I was really anticipating a better. Well, they're doing well, okay. They're going to make the playoffs, but I thought they'll look a lot better, play a lot better this year, particularly with Ben Simmons. I don't understand why his jump shot isn't better.
Well, he doesn't have one.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why he doesn't have one.
Yeah, well, it's the biggest mystery in Philadelphia sports history.
It's in all season he's supposed to be, you know, practicing and again developing that. I know one season, off season, don't give you the best or the greatest jump shot, but again, still, I think it should be better in game.
Yeah, it's not going to be. So that's the one thing you got to stop torturing yourself. Mm-hmm. He's not going to shoot it for the rest of the year. So our evaluation has to be: can they rise to a great height without him doing that?
Yes, I understand.
And they can. They actually can.
Yeah, I agree. I think the season is going to hinge on Ben Simmons, him being more aggressive. I mean, he doesn't.
I agree. To replace the lack of the jump shot, he's got to be more aggressive attacking the basket to get his points.
Exactly. And more consistent doing it. I mean, he just, some games he'll do it or some things he'll do it.
You're right on the button. Now, when you watch that last game, what impression did it leave you with here? Didn't you feel any better?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
okay.
But again, he should have been playing like that the whole season. It seems like he started getting more aggressive once Embiid went out for a little bit.
Yeah.
He kind of picked up his game, and he needs to be that, continue doing that the rest of the season, and even more so.
Yes.
And indeed, again, he is a great guy, great talent, superstar in his own right. However, he seems to not be aggressive every game, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, I got it. We keep going over the same situations here with these two, but I'm holding on to that last game for now, since I've got all this time on my hands until they get to the next game where I can bitch and moan. I'm holding on. They have put us in a holding pattern. It's like we're in a luxury airline right now, and we're just circling Philadelphia International. It's, you know, we'd like to land, but it's not bad right now. You know, we got all the booze we can have. The flight attendants are coming up feeding us, and we're in like a luxury ride for the next several days.
They become the mystery box at that point. Do you want to land? Do you know what's on the other side when you do land?
No, we're going to land. It's just a matter of whether it's going to be a rough landing or a smooth landing. But right now we're in the air. So we gotta be in the air until past the All-Star break.
It's not a bad place to be, I guess.
All right. Let's go, Brian in South Jersey. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Happy Valentine's Day, Mike. How you doing?
You too, buddy.
I am agreeing with you on a lot of different things so far today. First off, I hate the All-Star break. It's like
would like the All-Star break had they lost to the Clippers.
Well, yeah, I guess it is about perspective, but it does kind of, it stinks. But thank God for the Flyers playing like they've been playing, because that helps.
Yes.
I think you're totally fair about the expectations of Ben and Joe, the young guys, and even Carter Hart for that matter, because in these games, in these professional sports, I mean, it's not like you get to have an apprenticeship, right? Like when you do other kind of things, whether you're a plumber or a teacher or whatever, like you go and you put in your time to work. Like you said, you sign that dotted line. Yeah, that waiting period goes away. It's a now on demand, do it now kind of world. And, you gotta keep attacking for those guys. Hopefully they'll get better.
Yeah.
I mean, that last game was awesome to watch. So there's lots of hope. But I do like that idea of being in the waiting pattern. My wife's 9 months pregnant, and she's like, it's like any day now, I'm in a different kind of waiting pattern.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah. That's not a relaxing Valentine's Day for you, is it?
No, I did go with one of your sponsors. I did get a Steven Singer thing.
You got a rose?
No. The ring of hearts.
The diamond necklace. Beautiful.
That's nice work by you. I do not know if you are aware of this, but one of the bands that you and I both like, Tame Impala, just dropped their new album today.
Yes.
I hope you got it.
I'm a big Tame fan.
Yeah, I saw them this past summer and a couple years ago.
Did you tweet me about them?
I don't tweet. I don't have enough time.
Somebody tweeted me about whether I like Tame Impala.
No, they're really good. Well, you had them on. You and Tyrone were talking about a couple years ago. I think you were trying to get.
Yeah.
You were talking about your music choices on your show.
I liked them a lot. Very innovative.
You have to tell Anthony, though, one thing for me. He keeps saying John Lennon wrote "Why Don't We Do It in the Road." That was a Paul McCartney song.
I've never heard Anthony talk about "Why Don't We Do It in the Road." Why would he talk about why don't we do it in the road? In what context did Anthony bring up "Why Won't We Do It in the Road"?
It's a very specific Beatles song.
Does that sound like Anthony to you?
No.
Why don't we do it in the road, Anthony? No. I don't think so.
There's definitely a bunch of Beatles songs he likes, but I can't believe
Anthony
can't imagine.
Does.
I would bet.
I'm not sure.
No,
Anthony's does that. Anthony and music are kind of like divorced.
Why?
Separated. I don't know. He's just not into the music. Like his cousin Joey and his friend Joe Ben are like musically crazy,
right?
And Anthony, nothing rubbed off on Anthony.
Well, he's so focused on film. He's
focused on football.
Football, film,
yeah. Music. I mean, he's
cinema.
He's aware of it.
Yeah,
he's aware that it exists.
He's just not like a music guy.
No, he's not in.
Right, right. You
know, like not in with the music.
Right.
All right, 610, he's going to call now, 610-632. I know this because I remember his cousin texted me and said, "Are you going to see St. Vincent tonight?"
Oh.
So his cousin and his friend, Joe,
yeah,
were going to see, and I was going also to see St. Vincent.
Okay.
And Anthony, St. Vincent to him is like something you put on your dashboard.
Right.
You know? right. Yeah. He has no idea who that would be.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 2:48. Yeah, you got Tame Impala. Anthony just texted. He said the Beatles thing came up when he was interviewing Gary Smith.
Really?
Gary Smith is the one who said it. He says, "I do not know any Beatles, nor have any interest."
Well, then that settles that.
And he goes, "I basically like old school soul and hip hop and the Chili Peppers, and that's it. Bleep Frank Vincent."
Frank Vincent?
It's not
Saint Vincent.
Yeah, but he's mocking it by saying Frank Vincent.
Oh, okay. Oh.
See?
I knew not that. One Beatles song?
That sound like the Cubs, the Beatles thing.
Look, he's sticking to the greats, so that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Dude, Chili Peppers kind of wore on me after a while.
Well, yeah. We know about me and the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I mean, I liked them at first, and then I got.
I think they're fine, but allegedly I look like one of their fans.
You look like one of their fans?
Remember, did we talk about this? I was at a concert with my friends of this band that I wouldn't normally go to. And I struck up a conversation while we were in line with some kids who were in line to go into this band. And they said, "Oh, yeah, you don't look like," I think the band was Confetti. That's the name of the guy, or I forget the name of the guy. But they go, "Oh, like, you don't look like a blank fan." And I said, "Oh, really? What do I look like a fan of?" And they said, "Red Hot Chili Peppers." So now I have this complex because I look like a Red Hot Chili Peppers
really
fan?
I don't really know what a Red Hot Chili Pepper fan would look like.
No, me either.
That's very odd.
Yeah, so allegedly I look like one. Yeah. But I like them, but I don't love them.
A lot of people think they're a top 20 band of all time. I happen not to think that, but...
Right. I agree.
Outside the realm of top 20.
But I guess I look like I would think that.
All right. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Oh, Chuck, you old romantic. What are you doing on Valentine's Day?
So, I'm going to pressure cook some beef back ribs and put them on the grill with some ginger sauce. And we're going to have some salt and pepper Brussels sprouts with an Asian coleslaw.
Oh, look at you.
And an apple cobbler.
Look at you banging the grill down there in North Carolina.
Man, I handle business. Now, I would slow cook it, but I don't have time. So I got that Ninja Foodie. Now pressure cooked my rib. Man, that Ninja Foodie should be on all countertops. It's the greatest air fryer pressure cooker in the world. Man, you can take things and just, I mean, in an hour, you got baby back ribs falling off the bone, but I'm doing the beef back rib tonight.
Well, good for you, man. That's a good one.
And then it's my chapter. Today's my 10-year wedding anniversary.
10 years? Mrs. Chuck has been with you for 10 years, huh?
Actually, 20. We've actually celebrated 20. We've been married for 10.
You've been married for 10, but together for another 10?
Yes, sir.
Wow. What took you so long?
We didn't, either one of us. Well, we got married because our son, he called her Robin Savage. And the next day, it was her first husband's last name. And we literally got married 2 days later.
All right. Well, that's good. Good for you. Glad you straightened that out. What do you got on the Sixers here, Chucky?
Yeah, I really like it. I like what they're doing. I know it hasn't been what we want and everything, but, you know, I like how they changed up the lineup. I'm starting to lose my love for Embiid. I love Simmons and, you know, but I just, it's all these antics and all this stuff. And I understand he's amazing. But it's when we have him, he's amazing. I mean, I don't want a part-time amazing electrician. I want an all-the-time amazing electrician. I don't need a part-time good Embiid. I need an all-the-time good Embiid.
No, I agree. I agree. And then, like, here is the big reveal in that game. They played together the best that he ever played together, I think. That's what I saw. That was really encouraging.
Well, but, you know, given the bird or the FU and all that, it doesn't have, you know, if we got to have that, like Bob Cooney was saying, We don't need to have those antics every time to get him to play like that.
You're right. I think it saps energy, and he's probably going to keep doing it. The other side of it is it fuels him. So if it fuels him, I'm good. Knock yourself out. Whatever. I'm just, from my viewpoint, I think you waste a lot of energy wrestling with a fan base, and you can't win. So to me, that's a futile fight. All right, let's go Spanky and Cobbs Creek. What's up, Spank?
Mike, you know what? I was going to talk about the Sixers, right? But I want to talk about love.
Talk about love.
All right. So at first I had this, I was going to take my lady to a restaurant. And then I changed my mind because I said, you know what? When I'm with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to feel, I like to make her feel like me and her are the only people in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't really do that in the bar. But even when we are in the bar, it's just the connection that we have is just so decent. And so what I decided to do was just me and her just going to go to my crib. Well, she's going to come to my house. And I cook sometimes, but I'm not going to cook. But I know she likes seafood. So we're going to get two good seafood platters from a spot we like to get. And wine and chill. And my daughter is gone. My son, I got rid of him. So, you know, we can fall back. But, you know what bothers me, though, Mike? As men, right? We're so busy, some of these cats are so busy trying to be macho that, you know, we forget the fact is that, okay, all right, so I know Valentine's Day is really commercial, I get that, but when Christmas come around, we buy gifts all year, and when Christmas come around, we do extra, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we cook big Sunday dinners all year long, but when Thanksgiving time come, we do extra, right?
Right.
So I get the argument of people saying that, you know, I do for my lady all year long. I do for my boyfriend all year long. Okay, well, today, do extra. Do something extra.
I like that. See, that's the idea. Sweet Peggy, that's the idea of having to create a holiday where you have to think of doing something extra.
Yeah, Mike, and, you know, I just don't understand. With all the BS that's going on right now in the world, man, why not be able to have one day where you just show extra love? That's how I feel. And I know I'm going to get killed for this because...
No, you're not going to get killed. I think people need to take it in
between. A lot of cats know me, Mike. A lot of cats know me from, you know, the street. And they hear me. And I know they hear me right now, but I don't care. I love
So you're not
going
to be able to get back to the house? Because of this?
I don't care. You know what I mean? It's just that, like, you know, I'm probably going to get some phone calls and text messages and stuff like that. But, Mike, I love. I just really love. Because when I was with my wife for a long time when she passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I became really single, quote-unquote single, you know, I did the dating scene and stuff, and it was cool. But I started feeling like a piece of meat, and I didn't like that. I'm 48 years old, and right now at this time of my life, I'm glad to have somebody that that I can grow with. You know, I love my lady,
awesome.
And all I want to do is put a smile on her face all the time, and that's what this is about. You just do something extra today. Forget about what you always do. Do something extra for today.
Spanky, that is awesome. The Spank checking in.
That was fantastic.
Oh. Spanky's been through some trials and tribulations.
I know. I'm so happy that he found someone.
He found someone. He's in love again.
I know. It sounds like they're going to have such a nice night, too.
It's very nice.
Aw, Spank.
Yeah, the Spank is all right.
He's great.
Yes. So that's what he's talking about. Like, okay, don't balk at the holiday. Yeah, is it artificial? Sure it is. It's created for, you know, a lot of people make money off of it. But the idea is not archaic. The idea is a good idea. It forces you sometimes to think extra.
He's right. Yeah. What's wrong with love? What's Nothing. Wrong with extra love?
Nothing. The world revolves around.
It should.
Our love revolves around the world, or the world revolves around love. Whatever
like
it
that.
Is.
Whatever they said.
3 o'clock hour is coming up on the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.